All right. This is a busy day. We got a lot going on today. So not only the message here, but afterwards we have a meeting on Germany, and then later on we got the Super Bowl party. And you guys are all welcome to come out to that, however you want to do it. So we got a full day, so I'm excited, and I'm excited to talk about what we're going to talk about today. I think every pastor kind of has one or two subjects that they really resonates with them, and often you know, it's kind of more in their gear house, so to speak. This is a subject that I think is super important, because I think it's vital to the church, the longevity of the church, and I also I feel like it gets missed in a lot of different places. So we're going to pray, and we're going to dig in. Father God, we just come before you right now. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would speak, that, Father, as we go through Scripture, that you would lead each and every one of us. Father, the subject that we have today, it affects every one of us. There ought to be some level of it in our life. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would really work in a way that we would be open and transparent with you and with ourselves, that, Father, you'd help us to recognize the walls that keep us from that. And Father, we just ask that you would be glorified. So we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. We are talking about the church. We've been talking about the church and that you guys are the church. We've been talking about some different aspects of what that means. The church trying to be a healthy church. That's our goal here. And so we've talked about the fact that being a healthy church, first of all, means that you guys got to be healthy. So if you're not healthy, then we're not healthy. And so that really is the church. But at the same time, as a church, as we get together, there are things that we are trying to do or accomplish, things that we are trying to put into our DNA, if you will, our you know, just kind of the way that we operate. And so some of those practices will either help us grow in our spiritual walk, help us to become healthier, or they will actually hinder us. We've talked about the 13 different areas that to me are indicators of a healthy church, things that need to be going through. And what was kind of cool is last week, the leadership team actually sat down and evaluated all of us. I don't know if you realize you've been evaluated. Anybody feel evaluated lately? They evaluated us all last week, and it was actually kind of cool, because it was a pretty good census through the whole group as we talked about some of those 13 different areas, how we're doing as a church. And there's a couple of them that we do really well at, and I feel like we're like maybe we haven't arrived, because I feel like if I say we've arrived, that might be wrong, but we're doing really good. And there's other areas that we're not doing so good at, and we know that. And so I think that's important for us to be able to recognize those things, to be able to go, okay, we have some weaknesses, and so what are our strategy for those weaknesses? How do we overcome those? Well, we rely on our strengths, and we you know, add to our strengths and be able to work on our strengths. And so as we've gone through some of those things, to be able to remember those 13 areas is extremely difficult. If you're not a person that writes everything down, you know, Tom got the 12, apostles, so that's good, the disciples. So he's got that nailed. He will work on 13 next. But anyways, I digress. I'm sorry. Anyways, the reality is for me, it's easier to think about the core values in our church and think about it as a process. Last week, we actually talked about our core value as community. And community and fellowship is actually one of our strong points in this church. And we talked about that, and we talked about some scriptures on that. And one of the scriptures, what's interesting is one of the scriptures that we went through actually hit six of the 13 areas of indicators of a healthy church. And so much of that is actually wrapped up in being part of the body and actually living with one another, actually encouraging one another, actually serving one another, the whole reality of what it means to be in community, not just to recognize somebody, but actually to live life with people and to encourage people. And today, we are going on to the next one. And today, we're going to talk about growth. Now, the core value of growth is kind of sounds a little ambiguous, but the reality of it is what we're talking about is discipleship. We're talking about us growing spiritually. So us being able to walk not only in the reality that Christ has saved us, but that there is a journey before us. That when we come to know him, we are reborn, we are babes, we have an understanding of what God has done and his love, but the truth of it is, as we continue through this life, we should be able to increase in that area, be able to grow, our character should change, our maturity should begin to really blossom in different areas, our faith ought to grow, our relationships ought to be stronger, we ought to be able to serve in the gifts that God has given us, being able to recognize those gifts. There's lots of different areas of maturity that begin to happen in a believer. And so it's not just the fact that I am saved and I accepted Christ, but it's the reality that I want to continue to grow and grasp all that he has for me. And it's not a sense of works that I'm doing this to please God, but it is in the sense that it is the natural process of me becoming mature. And when I become mature, there are things that God is going to do in my life and help me to be able to overcome, help me to be able to be more victorious in the way I walk, in the way that I think, the way that I act towards other people. And so God has such richness for all of us that sometimes we miss it when we don't walk in a way of letting him mature us. I think sometimes we do a disservice when we feel like, well, I accepted Jesus and that's good, and now I just kind of hear, and that's, you know, I'm just going to let everything else happen. God will continue to work in you, and he does accomplish those things, but there's something more to it when we actually have intentionality about it. When we actually step in and say, okay, God, I want you to grow me. I want to be faithful. I want to learn. And when we have intentionality, that's where life really begins to change. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Grab your Bibles. Turn over here to Matthew chapter 28. I can't talk about discipleship without talking about the Great Commission. So Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look up here, though, in verse 16 before we get down to verse 18. And there's some verses here prior to some of the stuff that we're familiar with as far as Jesus and what he says that I think is important for us to grasp, too, as far as the whole setting that's happening here. So in verse 16, it says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, I stop there because that always kind of catches me a little weird. Here it is, Jesus Christ, the one that they saw crucified, the one they saw hanging on the cross, who is pierced in the side, who is put in a tomb, who is, they're all afraid of the Romans coming after him because their leader is now dead. And then 40 days after that, as all this stuff happens, and well, not quite 40 days, but a period after that, there is this interaction with Jesus coming in and out of this group. And so he summons to the hill, and as we get out here just before the Great Commission, as he gives them this charge, and he's literally taken up into heaven, I think it's interesting because as the group comes and gathers around, it notes the fact that some of them still doubt it. What's interesting to me about that is not only did they see it all, and we haven't, and yet they still doubt. So somewhere in a walk of our, that we go through in our Christian walk, there are these places that we wrestle with of questions. There are these places that we wrestle of doubt. And sometimes we kind of let our doubt actually overtake us. if you grow up in the church and you ever doubt, man, you can beat yourself up spiritually. It's like, what's wrong with me? You know, I've been in this, I know it, and yet I have these moments of doubt. I think the truth of it is everyone goes through moments of doubt. I don't think it's a crisis of faith. It might be for some. But I think there's places where we kind of stop and go, wait a minute. Do I really believe somebody died and rose again? Wait a minute. Do I really believe a man is God? And we have to go, okay, let me rethink this. Because to be honest, it is a step of faith. There are things in here that are miracles. There are things that happen that when we're told, sometimes it's hard to grasp. And so it's understandable and it's reasonable that some, from time to time, and to be honest, I think the majority of us, have these little places of doubt and frustration. But that's why discipleship is so important. Because see, when we have these moments of doubt and we're not growing in God or we're not connected to community and we're not in a place where people can encourage you, what happens is sometimes our doubt begin to overwhelm us. And we begin to wrestle with them and we don't have answers and we don't know what's going on. But the awesome thing about it is God has designed us that we can grow and we can learn, and he's not afraid of questions. And I don't think he's afraid of our doubt either. He knows we struggle. He loves Peter and he calls Peter out on the water, and Peter walks out on the water and then he starts to sink because he sees the waves. He has a moment of doubt. And Jesus pulls him back in. And what's so awesome about that is Peter does this whole thing, has this moment of doubt and sinks. What about the rest of them? They never got out of the boat. They had doubt the whole time. You know, they're looking at it going, is this a ghost? I mean, they were struggling. And yet we pick on Peter because he had a moment of doubt. See, I think sometimes when we go through those experiences, I think God loves to use that to go, let me teach you. Let me help you. Let me strengthen you. And as we dig into his word, as we dig into experiences, as we do discipleship with each other, as we talk about things, what happens is questions get asked that we begin to look at, and we get different perspectives from different people. That's what I love about our Bible studies is that it's not just a teaching head. It's actually everybody kind of gets in there and says, well, you know, I see it this way, or I had this experience. And what's really sweet about that is you begin to grow in your faith and your understanding because you get a greater perspective other than our narrow little eyes. And it's when we cast our eyes on the waves or we cast our eyes on these things that pop up that just throw us into confusion that we wrestle with our doubt and our struggles. And so don't be ashamed if you do have doubts here and there. It's going to happen. But if you want a victorious life, the reality is you need to step into what God wants to teach you in those moments. To be able to allow him to speak to your heart and help you in the midst of that. And he often does that through scripture. He does it through other people. Sometimes he does it in a small, still voice. But often that small, still voice, we don't learn how to hear until somebody actually helps us to be able to concentrate on it and spend time with it. And so that's part of why I want to bring this up. I want to keep going here. Look down here to verse 18. Hopefully I gave you guys those verses. I'm not sure if I did. I'm sorry about it. So verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very ends of the age. Now, this is the Great Commission. This is Jesus as he begins to ascend into heaven. He's given his last words to his disciples and to those that have gathered around to be able to say, hey, here it is. This is the charge I give you. This is what I want you to do. And so as he begins to talk about this, he, the fact that he has all authority, and so he's commanding us. He's saying, this is, here it is. Now, note, there's several different things in here that actually address those 13 issues of a healthy church. The first one right here, he says, therefore go. Some people like to look at it and say, as you go. So as you're moving about, as you go. But here's the reality of it. Is I don't know if you guys know this, but we are a sent people. We are a sent people. Sending people is actually a sign of a healthy church. Churches are not just supposed to gather. The reality is the church is a place to send. I don't know if you guys realize this, but at 12 o'clock every Sunday, you guys are sent. You guys leave here and you're going. And you are missionaries. You are the salt and light. You guys are the ones who carry the gospel. You are sent into a world around you. We are a sent people. Jesus is sent. Matter of fact, look over here at this verse. Oh, where we got? John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus is talking to him. He says, again, Jesus said, "Please, peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." This is another part of those last days as Jesus is talking to his disciples. So not only does he give them the Great Commission, but he tells them, hey, listen, I set you an example. God sent me here. I'm sending you. You're supposed to be like Christ. And part of being like Christ is realizing that you have been given a message and you've been given a charge. We're supposed to be sent people. A lot of times, I don't think we have that mindset. You remember, mindset is super important, right? No bad weather, just bad clothing. There it is, right? So this last week, did any of you guys embrace that mindset? Or did you go, oh, this is really bad. I'm going to hide. No, this is not bad. It's just bad clothing, right? Unless you're driving. Then it was kind of bad weather. But bad tires. There it is. There's no bad roads, just bad tires. It's mindset. It's amazing how a mindset can change your perspective and your attitude. When we have the right mindset towards something, we embrace it. We go all the way. We've talked about this before. It's like, you know, Tom has told me 100 times as we've talked about him running and all that stuff that it is such a mental game. Because if your mind tells you you're done, you're done. But if you can keep pushing through, if you can go, no, I can make this, you can do it. It's a mind game for so much of life, guys. So why is it important that we grasp the idea that we're sent? You may sit there and say, listen, I've lived in the same town my whole life, or I've been here for so long, and you know, I'm not sent. It's like, no, you're sent. You are a sent people. Because this is not your home. I hope you realize that. Our home is in heaven. That's our inheritance. We're children of God. We got an eternal place of glory to live forever. Right now, we are sent. We're journeying through this land, and we're here to actually represent God to other people in whatever capacity we can. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to say, hey, do you realize that Jesus died for your sins? If you can do that and have that conversation with somebody, praise the Lord. You should. But here in Montana, the reality is it usually takes a while to build a friendship so that they have enough trust that they want to hear it. But to build trust means to live with integrity, to live on purpose, to be able to have a life that shines a little bit different than the rest of the world around, that people would ask you for the reason of your hope. They would ask you, why are you different? Or, well, what is it that you, or hopefully get to the place where they know. They know that you trust in God. They know that your faith is in something else. Because you are a sent people. And when we have that mindset that I'm sent, then that means we look for opportunities. When we don't have the mindset that I'm sent, we kind of just go through life. And I think sometimes we miss opportunities. When I realize that I'm a missionary here, then the reality is, and then I have that mindset, I'm looking for those things. I'm looking for how do I help others. It's not about me. It's actually about them and being able to step into their life. Being sent is huge. But it's not just go. I'll look back here again at Matthew. It's not just go. He says go and make disciples. Now to make disciples, the first part of that is evangelism. So if we talk about the 13 values that we popped up, one of them was being sent, that a church that sends people is a healthy church. Another one is evangelism. Now, when we did our leadership thing and we all said, okay, what's our strong points, what's our weak points? This is our weakest point. We're not real good at evangelism, which is really kind of sad. And it's tough. And there's some reasons for that. And we're looking at that and going, how do we step into that? How do we change that a little bit for our church? Because we want that to be healthy in our church. But the reality is we do need to present the gospel to people. In order to make disciples, there is the step of making. There is the step of actually stepping into that and going, hey, do you know about Christ? Hey, would you like to come to church with me? I'd love to explain this to you. Being able to step into the life of non-believers, to be their friends, to be able to hang out with them, to the place that they begin to realize the importance of what it is that's happening in their life. We got to make disciples. But it's more than just that. Well, actually, I want to point out, last week I read some verses about running. Remember that, Tom?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got that down. So the whole thing, you know, about running the race like, you know, like it really counts, like you want to win, you know, you're all winners. You all get one of those prizes, partition, price of prize, yeah. Those are so dumb. Anyways, I'm sorry. we're all winners in Christ. He's won the battle. We get that. But he asks us to live with intentionality, to run the race like it matters to you that you're going to be the first. That's total intentionality. That's looking at it going, I want to live this life on purpose. I don't want to just be going through it. So the intentionality of what you're doing. And so we talked about those verses, but the verses right before it are really key to that. Because this is what he's talking about, this intentionality. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. He says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Now, as I go through this, people get a little confused, you know, back and forth, all this different stuff. But catch that verse. I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Because that's the point. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. Though myself, I'm not under the law. So as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law and am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. Now here it is. I've heard people say, well, you can't be all things to all men. You can't live a false life. He's not talking about living a false life. He's not talking about being a chameleon. He's not talking about going, all right, I'm going to, you know, if everybody's down on the main street and they're smoking pot, I'll go down there and smoke pot too so that I can win, you know, somebody who's smoking pot. That's not what he's saying. That's a misunderstanding of what he's saying is, he's, listen, when I engage in somebody, I'm not going to put up walls. I'm going to focus on what matters, the gospel and the truth. Because if you go through the scriptures, you begin to realize, Paul says, hey man, if you get involved with somebody who likes to argue, have nothing to do with it. Why? Because it puts up walls to the gospel. It's not important. He tells Timothy, hey, if you're going to be a soldier, don't get involved in the affairs of the public. Because that's not what a good soldier does. So don't get distracted is what he's saying. Realize that you need to make friends. And so when you go in, and that's why Paul's talking about, man, when I'm with the Jews, I eat what's kosher, and I do what the Jews do. So that way, if I do something that I have the freedom to do, they're not sitting there going, oh, I don't like that guy. He's not being false. He's making sure that he connects. It's important to be able to connect. He's not giving up his values. He's not changing his character or his morality. He's making sure what's important is that in all possible ways that he can share the gospel with other people. This is super important because sometimes we feel like, oh, we need to go out and we need to make America moral again. It would be awesome if America was moral. I don't think it ever will be because it's full of people. That's the reality of it. It would be awesome if America did the things that I valued. But I'll be dead honest with you. I'll give those things up in a heartbeat if I can share the gospel. Because whether somebody's moral doesn't matter whether they're going to heaven. What matters is that they actually understand that they have a Savior who died for their sins, just as he died for my sins. And they're no different than me other than I've come to a place of belief and faith. And because of that grace, I'm given an incredible privilege. So don't use your privilege as a place of high ground to put up walls with other people. Look at it and realize, man, however I can engage in somebody and be able to share the gospel, because that's what it means to run the race. That's what it means with intentionality. I got to do this thing and focus on it because I want to get there. It's about sharing the gospel. So evangelism is huge. It's important. But our commission is not just to go, and it's not just to evangelize. It's actually to make disciples, which means a little bit different than just winning somebody over. To actually make a disciple is to actually train somebody to grow in the way that you are and who you are, to be able to help somebody. That's really what it is. It's like being a teacher, a mentor, a life coach, being able to help somebody to get to that place where they can go, okay, I get this. There's a great verse. It's a simple verse, but I love it. It's 2 Timothy 2:2. That's really easy to memorize, right? 2 Timothy 2:2, right? There you go. You got three twos. That makes six. Timothy 6. No, that doesn't work. 2 Timothy 2:2. The things you have heard from me say, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Paul teaches Timothy, Timothy teaches others, that others can teach others. There's four generations there of people learning the gospel. Four generations of people learning the truth about the scripture, who Christ really is. It's a cool little verse. It's really tiny, but it's a really cool point. I remember as a teenager, somebody coming up to me and saying, hey, do you realize that Christianity is only one generation from being extinct? It's the truth. It only takes one generation not to believe for it to be done. Because this is something that we pass on, not through our genetics. This is something that we pass on that is truth that we teach others. When I said, as a soapbox, you know, there's certain things that pastors really, I really, really think discipleship is huge and important. Because I want a healthy church, and a healthy church is healthy people. And here's the reality of it. That doesn't happen without discipleship. Because discipleship is one of those things that coaches us and helps us and we encourage one another. It's given to us. This is our commission, to raise up disciples. And it's not about you know everything, because I guarantee I don't know everything. It's not about knowledge. It's about victory. It's about encouragement. It's about growing in faith. It's about learning about what God has for you. It's about seeing a greater life than just the mundane of what this world actually offers. It's being able to come to a point of realizing that God's got something for you, and not only does he have it for you, but he's given it to you to actually pass on. Man, when you go through 1 Corinthians and it talks about the body, and you go into Ephesians and it talks about the body, and whenever it talks about the body, this is the crazy thing about it. Whenever it talks about the body, it talks about you encouraging people. You doing your part so the church can become mature. You have been assigned a certain area of the church so the church can be healthy and it can grow. It's about you passing it on to other people. Man, discipleship is huge and it is so important. With us, discipleship is one of those things that we really, really want to see happen in this church on a greater level. We've been kind of doing things, and I've been asked several times by different pastors, what do you do for discipleship? Do you do small groups? Do you do one-on-one? Do you do, you know? And I've always told them, yes. We'll do whatever. I don't care what program it is. The program doesn't matter. The goal matters. However anybody can be discipled and grow in their faith, that's what matters. So how do we do that? Well, here it is. For us, we've looked at it several different ways. We got the small groups. We got different avenues along that way. And then I was challenged a couple months ago by some guys in the state that came to me and said, okay, Mark, does your discipleship, do you have a system where you can take somebody who just accepted Lord and walk him through enough or her through enough discipleship that they can get to the place where they can step into ministry? Maybe called to be a pastor. And I had to stop and go, ooh, I don't know if I do. If I do, I got a lot of it, but it's not put together in an order. I don't have a system. I don't like systems. Systems don't feel real, do they? It's like, oh, here's my system. Where do I plug you in? I don't like that. Yeah. But at the same time, without this system, without this process, people get missed or skipped, or the intentionality lacks, right? I mean, when you do a workout, you kind of have a process, right? And you do the process because you realize if I keep doing, you know, if I do the right things, I can get to a better standing. And so we realized I need to have a process. So we've created a process. Okay, and I'm going to let Kevin come up here and speak in just one moment, but our process, actually, we've developed a very simple process of discipleship that starts off very basic. It literally starts off with cards, right? And on level one actually has, I should say, stage one. There's three stages. Stage one actually has five levels. And those levels walk you through the fundamental basics of Christianity, to Christian living, to spiritual maturity, to emotional maturity, to self-feeding, being able to know how to handle the word and figure it out yourself that you can turn around and teach somebody else. That's level one, five steps. Level two is about developing you in who you are and your leadership and what God has called you to be, and being able to step into different areas of ministry and to serve and to recognize, how do I make that multiply and how do I encourage other people? It develops you as a leader. And step three develops you in ministry. Stepping out and going, what is it that God's called you to? Let's do this thing. How do I do it to my best ability? And that's more geared towards the individual, because we're all called to different areas of ministry. So we now have a process. And the process is actually really good. How many of you guys are in the process? You got most of you are over here. I can't quite see over here. So we got a half dozen or so that are in the process, that are going through it. And what's really cool is it is simple. You basically going through and you're reading scripture and you're having conversations, and it's not a big deal, but yet, I don't know about you guys, the guys I mentioned, it's a big deal, isn't it? we have some good conversations. Yeah. We have some deep conversations where we go, no, this is really good. Thank you. See? There it is. Kevin, come up here. And Kevin is our leader. The handheld is gone. No, don't grab Nomi's. Grab the handheld. There it is.
All right. Is it on? I'm good. Hey, so I was just going to come up here and just kind of give what the heart of discipleship is, you know, how it has impacted my life and how I want it to impact others' lives. So the heart of it is that I'm a disciple and I've learned about Christ from others and I want to help make other disciples in Christ. And the thing about it is that we are the primary means in which God displays his glory. We are plan A. But as Mark was saying, you know, we are forgetful. You know, the story of the Bible is God's people being forgetful, forgetting who God is, what he's done for them, how he has made them. And the fact is, you know, we're forgetful. We forget, you know, we forget what we ate in the morning. We forget, you know, even scripture verses we read. But I think if you go back, and for me in my life, when I think about periods of my life where I've grown and I've started to be curious about who Christ is, and I got into Christian community and I started to learn, and when I got here, I started to learn about what my purpose was and how that was going to be continued to be refined and learn about sanctification in that process, I think about people. So I think we can all think back at parts of our lives. So if you're a Christian, you've encountered Christ in your life, and you think back on those moments, you may miss and, you know, forget events. You may forget scripture that you read in that time, but you don't forget the people that have impacted your life in those moments. So when I think of the timeline of my life, you know, names pop up. It's not times. It's just names. It's names and faces that pop up. Ways in which, I mean, the Word became flesh. So in Christ, he's our example. And so other people, as they were imitating Christ, you know, I imitated what they were doing. I was able to learn from them, apprentice, and see how God was working in their life. And that picture started to become more clear to me. And so what's interesting is before I got here, you know, I became curious about Christ, and I started getting into Christian community, and through that I discovered Christ. And I think what's beautiful about community is you will stumble upon growth in community. Even if you're not, the power of God working and him and God setting his love on you, that is powerful, and God working through others is powerful. And through that and circumstances that bring about, you will stumble upon growth in your life. But I think, you know, in faith, moving out here, joining this church, becoming a part of this church, as Mark was saying, it's about mindset. And I came here, and me and Hannah came here with the mindset of, like, we're missionaries here. You know, it took that shift. You know, before that, you're kind of like, you're kind of lost. You know about God. You know about what he's doing. But it's ambiguous to you. You know what I mean? You can't attach it to these concrete steps, and you're trying to find purpose for what he has for you. But then all of a sudden, coming in faith, moving out here, joining this church, shifting my mindset to that of a missionary, and then actually getting more formalized discipleship, intentionality, then that's when God's actually becoming more real to you in your life. Who you are in him is becoming more concrete. You can begin to grasp that. And I'm not saying that by any means that I've, you know, gotten to a point where I'm not, you know, I'm always going to continue to learn and grow and refine my purpose in him throughout my entire life. And that's one of the biggest things that I've learned is just, it's having I was reading scripture tonight, but, and I think David in one of his Psalms, he prayed for a willing spirit. And so oftentimes I pray for God just to provide me a willing spirit, because that's a lot about what discipleship is. It's committing to that intentionality to be able to, God already knows who you are. So it's our job to make ourselves be known to him, if you know what I mean by that, and be known to others, because that's the only way in which you're going to begin to discover how God has made you, how he's continuing to teach you and help you to grow. And others are going to be able to come alongside of you and be able to show you different perspectives and angles of his love in your life. And, you know, that's going to be able to give you those concrete steps of making your purpose real to you and a reality. So I really want and encourage that all of us participate in that step, because it's just part of our walk. It's not something that needs to be, you know, something that's scary. You know, any time, all of us have been through some form of discipleship. We just didn't know it, you know, when we came to learn more about Christ. But if we just stumbled into growth, despite our lack of intentionality, what would that look like if we actually set our mind to it and actually committed to that time, committed to that process? And God gave us a willing spirit in that. So, you know, that's my prayer. And it's ironic that through discipleship, I discovered that discipleship was an area of my life that I knew God was going to work in. And so I just really encourage you guys to just think and pray about, you know, how God is guiding you, what he's putting on your heart, and how you can start to, you know, get together with other people and, you know, one-on-ones, one or two other people, and really just dive in and be vulnerable. Because it's only in those moments, really, that you can truly understand what the next step is for you and how God wants to use you. So, oh, did? I think the batteries are dead. But anyways, but that's just kind of what I wanted to share with you, is that when I became more intentional with it, that's when God started to do beautiful things in my life, and I was actually to appreciate what he was doing in the relationships in my life and how they were beginning to function. I just encourage you, if you ever have any questions about it or, you know, and need to be, you know, learn more about it, you can always talk to me. I'm always a resource to you.
All right, sweet, thank you. So, closing, like I say, if you guys want to get involved in what we're doing, talk to Kevin. We'll get you plugged in with somebody. If you want to do discipleship more organically with somebody else, great, do it. The reality is we need to have mentors in our life. I have a huge list and picture of people in my life when you talk about that, Kevin. It's like, yeah, all the way starting with my mom, all the way through my life. So it's awesome. Father God, we just thank you for this time that we have together. Lord, we thank you that that you bring people into our life to speak to us and to help us. And Lord, we thank you that you give us mentors and you show us a better way. Father, I ask that if there's anybody here that's been struggling with their doubts, is anybody here that's been struggling with trying to understand more, that Father, that you would help them to have the courage and the boldness to be able to step into that, to be able to step into relationship with other people. That, Father God, that you would strengthen them in their life and in their walk with you. And that, Father God, that you would be glorified in the midst of all those things. And so we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. Choose your own words, adventure. I got a hot tip from Mark that this song ended abruptly, so I was a little more ready to say, boom. They tried to trick me, and they didn't win. So, okay. Got a bunch of announcements for you today. Oh, for starting out with the trail crew on the 22nd. The Missoula Resource Center is with Habitat for Humanity. They have a warehouse and a store where they have all their building supplies for doing building homes for people who need homes. And
that
we're
not the right one.
Oh, okay. Well,
the Home Resource Center, not Habitat for Humanity. The Home Resource Center is actually across from the Pink Grizzly.
Okay.
On Russell.
Okay. So yes, the other one. Oh, I will repeat all that into the mic. So we're talking about the other resource center on Russell there. But they do have building supplies, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, and we're going to be helping them organize those. Coffee and pastries will be provided. So you might, from 10 to 2, you could pretty much have coffee and pastries for breakfast and lunch. If you, like, hoarded a few. That's one way to be supercharged, you know, in your labor, is if you just live on coffee and donuts. It's caffeine and sugar. It is, like, a superpower. So there's a Germany meeting today at 12, right after church. Lunch will be provided. So if you have any interest in going on the missions trip to Germany, it sounds really cool. And there's also the Super Bowl party today at 4:30, to which you shall bring a snack. And I have not personally decided on what snack. And then there's Gold Buttock Hot Springs. Get them done. That is next Sunday. We are leaving here from the church at 1 p.m. And today is the last day to sign up. We're going to close registration today. We're just about full. We'll be staying at Airbnb. It's my favorite hot spring that I've ever been to anywhere. It is natural. It's not a resort. You do have to hike to it. It's not a hard hike. It's around a mile-ish. And okay, it is a hard hike. Very difficult. You might need some trekking poles or a guide dog. Maybe a GPS device in case you get lost.
It's at least moderate.
Okay, it's moderate. To a normal... My son informed me that I'm crazy, which I tried to let him know that, no, it's not crazy to go outside and climb mountains, but he still thinks I'm crazy. So to a normal person, this is a moderate hike, and you should be prepared for a moderate hike. Wear boots. I'm imagining there will be snow. When I go to hot springs in the winter, this is my hot tip, always bring traction devices, because it's like maybe the fact that the people are wet when they walk down, but the trail is always ice. So you might as well just be over-prepared and bring traction devices. That's my hot tip. We have a new Save the Day card with a few new things on it, so you might want to get the updated version, including the barbecue with the Haas and Jaegers on May 3rd, which... That's spring. That's like winter's over. Winter will end one day. I believe it. So, yeah, and we're going to continue to pray that we grow as a church. So we're going to throw up a prayer, and hopefully during this prayer, God will reveal to you the special snack that you will bring to the Super Bowl party, okay? Maybe a picture, maybe a color. Anyway, God, thank you so much for everybody who's here and for our church, our piece of the body of Christ here. And I just pray that as we go about our week and interact with each other as we leave this building, that we would feel as though we are sent, that we are a sent people, and that you would put people in our hearts to connect to people that we can pour into their lives and help them, and people who can come and mentor us. And I pray that we would experience that growth and transformation in our life, that we would see actual change, that the others around us at our work, in our family, our friends would see change in our lives, and that they would know that that change is from you. And I pray that we'd be ready with an answer to tell them how to change. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Give us some money right there. Somehow, any of those ways. Yeah.